Well, where to begin today with the readings that were before us? Our first reading from the book of Hosea and our gospel lesson from Luke could hardly be more different. In the first, we hear the words of a prophet who speaks of God's anger towards the people of Israel and of a man who is told to enter into a marriage of whoredom and have children whose very names will be expressions of God's displeasure with his people. They are harsh words that fall upon the ear, and they suggest that the prophet's very life will be lived out as a parable of God's disappointment with the people of Israel. And then in the gospel, we hear Jesus speak of a God whose grace and generosity exceeds that of even the most loving of earthly parents, a God who not only hears prayer, but who in mercy responds to our requests and who will provide for what we need. Can we possibly be talking about the same God? Such readings we have today seem to prove that false assertion that the God of the Old Testament was a God of judgment and anger, while the God of the New Testament is a God of mercy and love. But the God of the New Testament, of course, is the very God who was proclaimed by Jesus. The God that that young rabbi knew intimately from his own faithful reading of scriptures and from his unique relationship to the Godhead. And the church, guided by the Holy Spirit, long ago concluded that the words of Hebrew scripture, as well as the New Testament, reveal to us the nature and purpose of God. And so we have both readings before us today. I'm not a parent, but more than once I've heard a parent guide and soothe a 2 or 3-year-old who is in the midst of a temper tantrum with this direction. Use your words. Use your words. Words are better than fists or screams or even tears. But words can still convey anger. Hosea and the other prophets used words. They used images, visions, and parables to describe the relationship of God to God's people. And their words were often not gentle. It offends our modern sensibilities to hear a story like the one we heard today. It offends us because, among other things, we know this story comes out of a highly patriarchal culture, where women historically are often portrayed as those with loose morals. If you've been paying any attention to New York City politics in the last few weeks, you know that may not be our current context. It offends because it would seem the very names of Hosea's children will be used to express God's displeasure. What's that all about? Well, there are problems with this metaphor, but for all the problems in this parable, there's also something remarkable going on, some kernel of truth which we may still yet be able to grasp. For Hosea was the first prophet to interpret God's relationship with the people, that covenant that was established on Mount Sinai, by comparing it with a marriage. For Hosea, one fact stood out in Israel's history. God had chosen this people and established a covenant relationship. A covenant not only legally established through the giving of the law, the Torah, but a relationship of the heart. An intimate relationship. So yes, Hosea is expressing the anger of God, but there is something deeper here. Because for much of the time, behind and below anger, there is something else. There is yearning. There is longing. There is desire. Why is a 2 or 3-year-old angry? Often because he or she is not getting what she desperately needs and wants in that moment. And consider who it is for you that it is most safe to be angry with. Isn't it the persons with whom you're most intimate? With whom you have the most loving relationship? How many times is our own anger rooted in a deep disappointment or an aching sadness, a yearning for an intimacy that has somehow been lessened? And if you look through the whole sweep of Hebrew scriptures, not only this one particular passage from Hosea, then what you find is that the sovereign creator of the universe is always seeking out and wooing a people, continually calling to them, restoring them, repairing them, calling them back to the intimate relationship once established for them, and that will never be abandoned. And we even get a glimpse of that kind of passion in the last verse of today's reading. And if you come back for next week's installment of Hosea, you'll hear an even more exuberant expression of God's grace, of how God's anger cannot be held, because there's something greater than that, and it's God's love. And so I think here we see a connection actually with the gospel lesson. For what is Jesus talking about in the gospel? Jesus is talking about our yearning, our desire, our longing for God, and invites us to bring our deepest longings and prayers before God, to ask, to search, and to knock, to be persistent in our prayers. Now, the word that many translations of this passage translate as persistent, where Jesus says, be persistent, actually might be better translated as shameless. Be shameless in your prayer. Be audacious. Be bold. And where is it that we as human beings can stand and speak without shame? Again, isn't it in our most intimate of relationships, where we know we can say and speak and act and not be embarrassed and not be shamed? Come to God with your yearnings and longings, the deep requests of your heart, Jesus says. And I would say he would say this too, come even with your anger. Your anger at God when at time your prayers don't seem as if they are being answered. And when we come with our yearning, the one we meet is the God who is yearning and longing for us. We do know that there are times when we have prayed, when we have searched, we have knocked, and the door seems to remain closed. We may have prayed for a miraculous healing that has not come, or been afraid to pray for something in fear that it simply will not be answered. But even though Jesus uses this language, search and you will find, knock and the door will be open, it's important to remember that prayer is not a transaction. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with the intimacy of a marriage. It's the relationship of a friend who offers you bread, of a parent who provides for her child, of a heavenly Father who gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And so, even like Hosea, perhaps our lives are actually meant to be a parable of God's yearning for us, and of our yearning for God. So use your words. Use your words to come before God, to bring your deepest requests to God. But also know that every unspoken word, every utterance of the heart, every one of our hopes, every one of our fears, and especially those prayers for which we cannot find words, are heard by God, who even now is reaching out to us with a fervent and faithful love and seeking a deeper and more profound relationship with each of us, today and always. Amen.